Hello, welcome to Heart Yoga Radio. It's a bit windy up here in the Welsh Hills today, so I hope this recording's okay. We're braving our usual walk before the rain starts. So anyway, the American situation, what do you think?
Let me tell you the story I would tell you if I was a conspiracy theorist, which yeah. I'm not. I believe history is a series of cock-ups. People, of course, do conspire. All the time. It's a part of human life. They conspire in families, in companies, in regiments, in governments. But to bring off an elaborate conspiracy tax, powers of organisation that are not really given to human beings. People try, but Sod's law intervenes, entropy intervenes. And cock-up happens. I'll be sure you subscribe to the cock-up theory of history, really. But if I was a conspiracy theorist, this is what I think is happening. Trump is going to try and get a second term. Even now, he's tweeting this morning, he's saying, "We won," capital letters, you know.
And how many days was it since it was called for Biden now?
Fucking ages, days.
Two or three days ago?
More than that.
Like Biden officially won, and Trump's still Biden, manically tweeting, "We won."
Biden hasn't officially won because there's a quango, an American institution, the name of which escapes me at the moment. But they sign off on the win, and then it becomes official. Now, normally, by now, the losing party will have graciously made a concession speech. Hillary Clinton conceded to Trump in 2016 before he'd even got 270 in the Electoral College. 270 is a clear majority. Biden has got a definite 290 already, but Trump won't concede. And
maybe he thinks that Biden will just magically go away.
Like COVID?
Yeah.
Well, he does. He's not in his right mind. He's not a rational thinker.
No.
You know. But as I say, if I was a conspiracy theorist, the fact that Trump keeps saying he's won, and at the end of the day it'll turn out that they've won, makes you wonder what's going on. Now, let me just give you the conspiracy theory and then tell you why it's not going to work. Well, at least one hopes fervently it doesn't work and that they haven't really plotted this. But in the run-up to the election, Trump was saying they're going to cheat. At every opportunity he got, he was saying the Democrats are going to cheat, the postal votes are a cheat. Because it did look as though there were going to be many more postal votes than there usually are. Now, why more postal votes than there usually are? COVID.
Yeah.
COVID, right? People don't want to be standing in a queue with other people breathing in their viruses if they got them, you know. So, and of course the Democrats told people to get your postal vote in, get it in early so there's no question about it. You know, there's no question mark over it if it's a bit late or anything like that. So this was what the Democrats were saying to their base. You don't want to catch COVID, use your postal vote. And a lot of them did, and there were many more postal votes than there are usually. It's probably a record number of postal votes. On the other side, Trump is saying, "I've had COVID, it's nothing. I beat it. If I beat it, anybody can beat it." He actually said
apart
that.
Apart from all the people who died of it, everyone else can beat it.
Apart from the 200,000 or whatever it is at the moment who've died of it. But anyway, he's spreading that amongst his people. He's having these super spreader events. People are not wearing masks. You know, the anti-maskers and anti-vaxxers and anti-science people and anti-climate change are also Trump-tards. Mm. I mean, Trump is a climate denier.
The mobilisation of the stupid.
Yeah, and exactly. And Trump's a climate denier. He denied COVID in the beginning, said it's a hoax. Says climate change is a hoax. And of course, he's working for big oil. The idea that Trump is somebody who's working for the ordinary people against the establishment. He is the fucking establishment.
Yeah.
But he managed to sell himself as anti-establishment to people who have cognised, who've recognised that the system is against them, because their lives have turned to shit over the last 20-30 years. And he managed to mobilise those people by persuading them that he is their champion and against the swamp, well, by which he means the establishment. But he's actually working for Big Oil with his climate denial and fracking and opening up the national parks to oil prospecting and opening up Alaska and the Arctic to oil prospecting. So this is the scenario. Democrat voters are using the postal vote because they think COVID is real. Trump, meanwhile, is preparing the ground by telling everybody the Democrats are going to cheat because of the postal votes. Telling his people, which he specifically did, to go out and vote in person. So it seems to me like he's planning on calling the postal vote, the validity of the postal votes, into question after the election, especially if he loses. If he'd have won, he'd have gone quiet, you know.
Yeah.
But they must have had some inkling that they could lose, it was going to be tight. So he's prepared the ground for what he's doing now, which is saying, I'm not going, they cheated. And it's because of the postal votes. But he told all these people to go out because they weren't going to catch COVID in the queue, to go out and vote in person. You know, where is the Democrats being a little tiny bit more sensible? I'm not trying to paint the Democrats as like as all fine and dandy, by the way, but a little bit more sensible than the Trumpists. And telling people to use their postal vote. So he set all that up immediately. Pompeo goes on the news and says, he's get asked a question, what about the transition? Because normally there's a bit of cooperation between the parties in this 70 days after the election. If the administration is going to change, there's generally quite a high level of cooperation between the outgoing officials and the incoming officials. Even George Bush's people cooperated in a friendly manner with Obama's people, right, in the last interchange. But Trump's refusing to cooperate, so people are getting a bit worried now, because it's a bit of a thing, a transition. It needs work and cooperation. Trump's basically refusing. Pompeo gets asked a question about this at a press conference, and he says, oh, there will be a smooth transition between the first Trump term and the second Trump term. And he says that. And people say, well, is he joking or does he fucking mean it? You know, so what's going on? Now, they've mounted 10 legal challenges to aspects of the elections in various states. This is the Republicans saying that there was cheating. And every case has been thrown out. You know, it's 10-0.
Yeah.
You know, they're prepared. They've already placed something in front of the Supreme Court, which Trump has stacked during his period of office with reactionary right-wing judges who are in post for life. You know, including, you know, that...
Amy Coney Barrett.
Yeah, including her, you know, right in the run-up to the election. So... However, it's not looking good on the legal front. Trump and all of the bots on the internet are saying, you know, massive voter fraud. None of the legal challenges contain those words. They're about like little bits of nitty gritty, you know, this person was dead and their vote was used and this, that and the other. Whereas for the rhetoric, it's massive voter fraud. For the law, for the actual legal depositions and so forth, you know, and the papers that are filed with the court, none of that is in there. So they're trying to create the appearance of massive voter fraud, and there's little evidence of it. The European overseers who went to be a disinterested third party overseeing the election to give some kind of verdict on its validity have said it was a valid election, no fraud, you know. And so, So it looks like they're kind of setting it up, you know. Now this is the bit that's a bit scary. Trump fires his Secretary of State for Defence, and he's just fired four, I think it is, senior officials in the Pentagon, and replaced them with some very hawkish types. So what's that about? Well, it seems to me he's trying to roil up his base and convince them of massive voter fraud, giving that appearance of massive voter fraud some credence with spurious court cases, of which there are many, which convinces them further that it's real, even though you look at the papers for those court cases and that they're not pointing towards massive voter fraud. But he's giving that impression to his base. He knows how to manipulate his base. He prepared them before the election for it by saying the Democrats are going to cheat. We're going to be cheated. He's just prepared the ground. And he's got this kind of mob of idiots that think the sun shines out of his eye, think he's the Messiah. You know.
Call the QAnon people.
Yeah. And remember, these people are armed to the teeth with, you know, military-grade fucking weapons. So you have to ask yourself, why is Trump, right at the end of his period of office, playing musical chairs in the Pentagon and with his Department of Defence? Well, he's prepared the ground, basically, for civil unrest. He's been dog-whistling his armed base for civil unrest with the unfounded claims of massive voter fraud. And I would, you know, in this conspiracy theory, right, that the conspirators are hoping for massive civil unrest with perhaps armed conflict so that they can call out the army. So he's got people who will collaborate with the imposition of martial law, basically, from within the Pentagon.
So he wants his own supporters to go out on the streets and start shooting up America so he can then bring in the army to crush them.
Yeah.
His own supporters.
Yeah, and get himself emergency powers for another term of office on the grounds that the Democrats have behaved criminally. Now, that's a conspiracy theory, and of course it does fit rather beautifully.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if that has been thought through, you know, it's been war-gamed, as you might say.
Yeah.
The chances are that the court are going to throw him out. I mean, on the other side, the Democrats are taking the body that certifies the election to court for not certifying it by now. They should have certified it by now, because it's a clear win. You know, and the way the numbers work, Trump's trying to say that in Pennsylvania some of the postal votes shouldn't have been counted because they came in too late, and you're going to try and get a case on that. But the point is, there might be a legal case there, but even if the legal case is found and those votes are thrown out, Biden has still won. He only had to win Pennsylvania, and the votes that are in question won't change the outcome. Should the legal case find that they should be discounted? So he can't win anyway.
Yeah.
And I think the courts, even sort of right-wing courts, are going to, you know, they're not going to risk their reputation by being too partisan. They will be up to a point. But also Biden's law team, apparently, by all accounts, he's got the best lawyers in the country, you know, the best constitutional lawyers and so forth.
Whereas Trump's lawyers have to be absolutely bent as hell to stand by him at all, don't
Well,
they?
His last attorney ended up in jail, didn't he? You know, like a lot of people who work for him end up in jail.
Yeah, surprise, surprise.
You know. I mean, they are like a criminal mafia gang. You know. I mean, I'm not trying to excuse Biden or the Democrats. I think they are the lesser of evils, but they're not fucking they're not unimpeachable people as a generality. You know, and they're still working for the same system.
Yeah.
You know, Goldman Sachs is going to win whatever the outcome of all this. Anyway, that's the American situation. I think that conspiracy theory does have merit, but I don't like to predict, but my guess is it's not going to go anywhere. Mm. I think it's too much of a long shot, but Trump's trying it. He tries long shots, you know. But Trumpian schemes generally don't work, which is why the guy's been bankrupt 6 times. He's not a great businessman and all this stuff they say about him.
Yeah.
His dad bailed him out with the casino in Atlantic City. He's about to go bankrupt. His dad went in, or he sent somebody in, and they bought $1 million worth of chips. You know, at the chip counter.
Right.
But they never cashed them in. They just took them up to come and walked away with them. So there he is. Bailed him out without bailing him out. So that's America for you.
Yeah, I agree with that prediction. I think he's going to find it very hard to find enough people willing to go out there and put themselves in harm's way for him that would give him the right to invoke military law, really.
Well, there's an Insurrection Act. It's a very old act. It's from the 19th century. I think it's like 1817 or... Don't quote me on that, but it's in the early 19th century. They passed an act called the Insurrection Act, and the president can invoke martial law, more or less. But that's what the National Guard is for. But if he's going to the Pentagon, he's talking about regular troops. I mean, why would he sack people at this point? You know? So... But I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I think they've entertained this idea. You can see, you know, they've put their pieces in place. It's a chess opening, as it were. But it's a particularly bad one.
Mm. Trump might just be sacking anyone who...
I mean,
he doesn't say yes to every single thing he says at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. It's just like madness, you know, the madness of King George, you know.
Yeah, he does seem to be particularly insane at the moment.
He's always been insane, but now he seems to have gone like into full kind of psychosis.
So I was listening to an interview with his niece, Mary Trump.
Yeah.
And talking about his mental state. I mean, she's not talking to him, but from what she knows about him, I mean, she's a psychologist, isn't she?
Yeah, she's a clinical psychologist.
And the interviewer was asking, you know, because they're all worried as well, what's he going to do before he's finally, leaves the office?
Yeah.
And, you know, she was describing him as very fragile and not ever able to admit defeat, because he's always just been bailed out and being able to... pretend to himself that he's victorious all his life.
Yeah. It's pretty scary that somebody like that can get into the position.
Yeah.
Of, let's say, the most powerful man in the world. I don't know whether that's actually true, but certainly one of the most powerful men in the world.
Through kind of... And he's such a pathetic man. I mean, you could kind of understand it with somebody who had, like, real charisma. Yeah. And like projected real strength, but he's really pathetic, you know.
It fills some people though.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a profile because of doing all this game show, whatever it is, this reality TV thing that he did. That was the thing, and he was sort of quite good at the showmanship. He's like a fairground barker, you know.
Yeah.
But no experience in politics. I mean, Biden, whatever you think of him, he's been the vice president. You know.
Yeah, so at least he knows how it all works.
High office of state, you know.
Like, where the offices are.
Yeah. Well, he knows the people. He's been in politics for 50 years. He knows all the people. He knows how to wheel and deal on Capitol Hill.
Yeah.
Which, if the Democrats get the 2 Senate seats that are being recontested in Georgia because of a close run election in January... The Senate will be split 50-50. 50 seats Democrat, 50 seats Republican. But the Vice President in the Constitution has the casting vote. So he'll be wheeler-dealing in... he'll have Kamala Harris wheeler-dealing in the Senate to get things done, to try and make things happen, you know. and he'll be using his connections. He'll be inviting people for chats and stuff. He will be able to get some things done. Mm. They're not going to be super radical, but he will be able to kind of shift that sort of backlog probably a little bit, which constitutes a kind of a crack in the monolith. But the left's going to have to work very hard to sort of, you know, insert something in that crack and start wiggling it, you know.
Yeah.
And opening it up. And it's all too late.
Humiliation after humiliation, yeah, at the moment, which, yeah, will be really driving him insane.
Yeah.
And I'm sure everybody's heard about this, but
This
was even reported on the BBC with a straight face this morning, and honest to God, it sounded like a comedy sketch.
Oh, yeah.
Because there was meant to be this this rally with, Giuliani?
Yeah.
It was going to be at the posh Four Seasons Hotel.
Yeah.
But for some reason, they'd booked the parking lot of the Four Seasons Total Landscaping Company by accident.
Yeah.
Right? Which apparently is in between an adult bookstore and a crematorium,
yeah,
at either side.
It's like the universe is saying, fuck off and die.
Yeah. Eh? This is like I'm saying, this is like saying, oh, you're halfway between being screwed and dead.
Yeah.
Just to quote our friends from Navarra
Media. Yeah.
But they still went ahead and did this. So these, so the Trump supporters have gone from this stirring, Nazi-like pride, waving their guns and we're invincible, to standing in a car park...
Next
to the loading bay and the dumpsters, with a small crowd kind of weakly cheering, with some old dude rambling on about something that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, Giuliani he's got a reputation because he was the mayor of New York at the time of 9/11, and he performed a sterling job of, you know, rallying the people of New York and keeping their morale up and all the rest of it. And he got like widely admired for the way he conducted himself in that.
Yeah.
But at this thing, at this, he's Trump's lawyer, isn't he?
Is he actually a lawyer?
He's actually a lawyer. Nearly all politicians are fucking lawyers, you know. Clinton was a lawyer. Obama was a lawyer. Kamala Harris is a lawyer. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether Biden's a lawyer.
I suppose to break the law and get away with it, you have to know a lot about the law.
I might have said Biden was a lawyer. I'm not sure about that. If I said that, I'm not sure about it.
Anyway.
And but Obama was a lawyer. He was like an expert in, I don't know, international law, constitutional law. Obama, you know, a lecturer in constitutional law.
Okay. So
that might be a problem with politics. It's very similar, eh? You know, a lot of our politicians are lawyers. You say, well, who better to make law than lawyers? And I think we should have some kind of, you know, intelligent retired boilermakers and plumbers and nurses and school teachers and blokes who dig holes in the road. As long as they've got something between their fucking ears, you know. Some input from that kind of section of society. Because lawyers are a very narrow...
Well, that's what Labour's meant to be, isn't it?
Yeah, it's full of lawyers, though.
Yeah.
Fucking hell, Keir Starmer, he was the DPP, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's where we're up to with America at the moment. I think it does seem to be falling apart in quite a...
Yeah.
Kind of nice bit of schadenfreude for the opposition, really.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, as I said, all those lawsuits are going nowhere.
Well, 10 so far, and they've all been thrown out because the judges said, where's the evidence, and they haven't got any. There was some evidence of, there was a charge somewhere of like 10 dead people, 10 votes that belonged to dead people, and that was investigated. And 5 of the people were still alive and had voted. 2 of the people were still alive and hadn't voted. And the rest of them were actually dead and hadn't voted. So it was a completely spurious claim.
Wow.
You know, and it was kind of it was tracked out.
There meant to be millions of dead people who voted.
Even if 10 dead people's votes had been sort of, you know, used maliciously and illegally, it doesn't amount to widespread voter fraud.
No, not really.
This is the leap that they're taking from where they might have a case, right the way through to the rhetoric. It's a leap from, oh, there's a couple of irregularities here, a couple of irregularities there, to widespread voter fraud, and we'll mobilise our people on the streets with their fucking military grade assault rifles, and then we'll call out the army. You know.
So, what all of this means for us
is Brexit.
We're just about to encounter the Brexit apocalypse.
Yeah.
Well, Biden is not a fan of Boris Johnson. Apparently,
he's not a fan of Brexit.
And
he's a self-identifying Irish American.
Yeah.
And
he does not like Johnson's attempts to completely fuck over Ireland
He specifically said, and he said this in September, if I get in, there's no trade deal. If you put a hard border in Northern Ireland, if you jeopardise the Northern Ireland Agreement, you know, the Belfast Agreement, the Good Friday Agreement, if you jeopardise that, you're getting nothing. And Trump, you know, on the contrary, said, oh yeah, you'll have a great deal. But even Trump couldn't promise that, because trade deals have to go through through Congress, right? And the Irish lobby in Congress, in both houses, the bipartisan Irish lobby, is very powerful. And even Trump wouldn't be able to, Trump wouldn't be able to push that aside. Anyway, so Trump made a false promise about what they'd do for the UK by way of a trade deal post-Brexit. And Biden has just specifically said, fuck you if you're going to jeopardise Northern Ireland.
Yeah,
which, of course, then.
Fuck you anyway, because you were really nasty about Obama.
Yeah. I mean, in any case, you know, at the same time, the bill, what's it called? The Internal Markets Bill, which the Lords have rejected, or at least have modified in such a way as to safeguard the Good Friday Agreement, has gone back to the Commons, and presumably it'll go back to the Lords. What they'll do in the Commons is reinsert the clauses that the Lords wanted taken out. This can only happen three times. Brandon Lewis stood up in Parliament and said, this law commits the UK Parliament to breaking international law, in other words, breach of a treaty. In very specific ways. He stood up in Parliament and admitted that they were passing a law that enabled them to break international law. You know, and everybody turns around and says, this isn't going to bode well on the international stage. This country will be seen as one that is no point making a treaty with them because they break them.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, it's already happened that Biden has turned around and said, if you're going to go around breaking international treaties, fuck you.
Yeah.
So that is the impact of the American election on the UK situation.
Yeah.
Which is one in which...
We're toxic to the whole of the rest of the world
now. In which an ill-prepared Brexit with no agreement to speak of is about to take place in a few weeks. At the same time as the pandemic's fucking is going into a second... peak, second wave, whatever you want to call it. So, I'm in the apocalypse. We're in it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
When we look back, right now, we'll probably look back at this time in the pandemic as like the good times. But when we view it from next year, looking back, we're actually in the Brexit apocalypse. Running alongside the COVID apocalypse.
It's just the apocalypse.
And the Tories have put somebody in charge of distributing the vaccine who's just as shit as Dido Harding.
Yeah. And whose husband's a kind of Tory minister and blah, blah, blah. I mean, the revolving doors, the nepotism, the cabal, the cosy cabal-like behaviour goes on and on and on. They're utterly corrupt.
Yeah, so we might be, you know, in the... It could be we've got the Brexit apocalypse... the raging pandemic and people on the streets trying to have a revolution all at the same time.
Yeah, well, if this was any kind of Latin American country, the population would be on the streets. we'd be in the throes of a fucking revolution.
Yeah, especially if there's no food on the shelves, they'll all be looting the shops as well.
The fucking shit that they've been, the corruption. I mean, the detail. There's that much of it. You can't kind of keep track of it. But they're all in each other's pockets. And of course, we've done podcasts about that. There's an interesting Times. I think it's called, was it called Revolving Doors and Cozy Cabals or something like that?
In which we
document some of that. But they've just been throwing public money at their mates.
Yeah.
Like there's no tomorrow, and their relatives.
In a kind of really transparent way.
They don't care.
Yeah. But my feeling as well is what's the implications of what's just happened in America for us is because they've seen Trump getting away with the very worst of the worst behaviour. And it's like they call it Trumpism, don't they?
Yeah.
They just modelling themselves on that, thinking, oh, it's great, look, you can get away with all of this despicable evil doings. But Trump hasn't got away with it, so they're now thinking, I think you can actually just feel them panicking just a little bit, thinking, shit, maybe we're not going to get away with it either.
Yeah. Well, that was Trump's lesson to right-wing arseholes throughout the world, was that you can get away with being a not particularly pleasant character. And doing all kinds of shady things and just being quite open about it.
Yeah.
Because prior to that,
even boasting about it, you can boast about how
grab
all the terrible shit that you've done.
Grab
and
them by the pussy.
You. Yeah.
And the Christians forgive him because they got this idiot belief that a bad person can be doing God's work because there's some example in the Bible. Some prophet who was in Babylon or something and was a bit bit of a fornicator. I don't know what the exact ins and outs are, but there's something in the Bible to that effect. And they think, well, okay, that means that Trump can be our man and our saviour, our God-appointed saviour, even at the same time as being not a particularly moral person. I mean, Clinton got impeached for having a blowjob, you know, in the Oval Office. You know, and if you shagged anybody in British politics, you were out straight away.
Trump been accused of rape like more than once?
Oh yeah, yeah. As soon as he's out of office, there's a big string of civil suits for sexual misdemeanors, shall we say, waiting for him.
Yeah, this is why Trump's so desperate to get back in, because he knows he's probably going to prison.
Well, president's immune from prosecution for anything, pretty well.
Anyway, so I hope everyone found that interesting and the wind wasn't too disruptive for the recording. And hope you're all okay, and we'll speak to you soon.
Make knowledge great again.